Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Nate.
Hello, I am applying to a few hybrid JD programs and plan to start school in the fall of 2024. Okay, so you're applying right now. It's December. I'm going the hybrid route so I can continue my career while my wife finishes with medical school. I have received scholarship offers from Seattle University, University of Dayton, and Mitchell Hamline College of Law. UD is offering $100,000, Mitchell Hamline is offering 80%, and Seattle University is offering full tuition with conditions.
Okay.
I just thought this was interesting because each of these metrics was conveyed differently.
Oh, yeah. $100,000.
Which I don't know what that means. Okay, so that doesn't sound like full. That sounds like
80% at Mitchell Hamline, but we don't know what the difference is in cost between Dayton and Mitchell Hamline, so we have no idea how to compare those two offers. Seattle U is offering a full tuition scholarship with conditions. I guess we don't care what their tuition is if it's a full tuition scholarship. So that's true. Just 100%. So 100% and 80% are kind of the same thing.
Kind of.
Although, yeah.
What's the number? Yeah.
We certainly can't compare the Dayton and Hamline offers.
Nate continues, how could I go about negotiating the removal of these conditions? My LSAT is 163 and my UGPA, my undergraduate GPA, is 3.61. Seattle is my top choice, followed by Mitchell Hamline. I don't intend to pay for law school, but what is the best way to negotiate this situation? Can it be done?
You know, rather than negotiate, I do think that there's another option here. And I don't think that this is that. I mean, by all means, see if they'll remove it for you. But my guess is that they're going to say no. I'm looking at the conditional scholarships table. This is on the third page of the American Bar Association Section 509 report for Seattle University School of Law.
Okay.
Their conditional scholarships for the 2021-2022 academic year, 183 people entered with a conditional scholarship. Damn, that's so many people. I mean, only 221 people enrolled. Oh, wait, that's the 2022 first year class. So, yeah, we're looking at like kind of outdated information. But the point is, almost everybody is getting a conditional scholarship at this school.
So they only offer conditional scholarships? Is that equivalent to the number of people who got scholarships?
Total number. Well, see, there we only have the entire school. So it says 586 at the entire school, 87%. But yeah, that's pretty much what 183 is, roughly 87%, pretty damn close, of 221, which was how many enrollees they had. So yeah, I think we can pretty much assume that they're giving conditional scholarships to everybody.
And that's it. They're not giving non-conditional scholarships.
Well, I don't know that, but that is what it looks like. So
that's what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing I wanted to say is that of the 183, last year, there were 33 that were reduced or eliminated. Okay. 33 divided by 183.
15
is 18%.
18%. Okay.
It was a little worse than that the year prior. The year prior, there were 174 conditional scholarships. 45 of them were reduced or eliminated. So it was a little worse there. Yeah, 45 divided by 174, 26%. So, well, the point I wanted to make was you can ask them to remove that stipulation, and maybe they will if they look like you're going to credibly walk away and take a better offer somewhere else. Who knows what they might do? But they might also say that's just something that we're never going to negotiate on. You have to keep you're going to have to do well enough to keep your scholarship. But the point I wanted to make was, if you can't keep that scholarship, then you're doing terribly in law school and you should drop out anyway. I believe this firmly. You're going to a school with, I mean, geez, we could dig into the like employment numbers, but we don't even really have to. You're going to a school that has a median LSAT of 157. You're going to a school that has a median undergraduate GPA of 3.47. Your competition at this school is just not very stiff. And to lose your scholarship, if they're only taking it away from 18% or 25% of all the scholarship applicants, to lose your scholarship at this school, you've got to be doing like really shitty. And if you're not doing well in law school, I can't stress enough how important it is that you just drop out. So if you lose your scholarship at Seattle, you just go, oh, thank you for the scholarship during my first year. Law school is not a good fit for me. Peace. And you just drop out.
Yep. I agree with that 100%. Totally. I do have some other questions, though, to help Nate make this decision. One, how many people at the University of Seattle get more than full scholarships?
Okay. So, yeah, again, looking at the 509 report, zero.
Okay. So they don't seem to do that.
No, 8% of the class gets a full tuition scholarship. That's not very much, you know, like, so those conditional numbers are actually way better.
That's what I wanted to say.
Anonymous. Yeah. That, wait, is it anonymous still?
Nate.
Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah, Nate's chances are way better. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. So the idea is, right, you're getting a full tuition scholarship. Only 8% of the students get that. Of all the people who get scholarships, only what, maybe let's just round a little on the higher end here, 25% of them lose it. But so 75% of them keep it. You're way more likely to be part of that 75% because you're already in the top 8% in terms of.
Yeah. Your LSAT is already above the 75th percentile for that school.
And your GPA.
Okay. So yeah, you are overpowered for that school, which is fine. Cause that's how you want to be. You want to be the big fish in the small pond. I think it could work out great for you, Nate. I would be surprised. I mean, I would be actually fairly shocked if you lose that scholarship. If you do lose that scholarship, it's because something changed in your life and law school was just not the right play for you at the time. And so, yeah, lose the scholarship and drop out. I just wouldn't worry about it. That sounds harsh, right? People are going to be like, oh my God, are you kidding me? You're actually telling me to drop out if I don't do well? Yeah, I'm telling you to drop out if you don't do well. Because if you don't do well at that school, the employment outcomes for that school are not like great, right? This is not the kind of school. It's not like Stanford where you finish last in your class and then just go waltz right into big law.
Yeah.
This school is like, you've got to do well there if you want it to open up any opportunities for you anyway. So if you're not doing well, I mean, even if you're like, you might keep your scholarship and still decide that you're not doing well enough to continue. I don't know. Like these schools are just so speculative to begin with. Not to say that it can't work out for you. I mean, you're exactly the type of person that these schools can work out for. The people who are there with no scholarship, that's the people that I'm really worried about. I mean, like, flip this whole discussion now to think about the people who are there on no scholarship. 13% of the class is there paying just full tuition. Yeah, well, you can dig into the employment outcomes yourself, but the return on investment is just not there.
Yeah, this is a great litmus test, right? Should I go to this school and should I stay there? Well, can you keep a scholarship? That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah. Thanks for writing in, Nate. Please email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.